hello. Welcome to episode 314 of She Podcast. It's the pie episode.
What?
Hey, yeah.
Oh, the pie. I was like, we're not covering any pies.
314 is pie.
Okay, 3.14.
So this is Sheepy Pie. We'll call this one Sheepy Pie.
Sheepy Pie.
I am your hostess with the mostess, Jessica Kupferman, and my co-hostess, or I guess she's the hostess and I'm the co-hostess, Miss Elsie Escobar. What does your shirt say? Listening to podcasts? But it's like a sport.
Listening to podcasts ends, and then you count it.
Oh, 20.04. Okay, cool. Anyway, with us as always, our producer, John Jamingo. Hello, John Jamingo.
Hello, everyone.
We were just loving on him before we started recording because those of you who have voiced opinions about whether or not we have a male editor are not wrong. He is male. That's correct. But he's also a magician. And that's why not that I want to fire him, because I don't, but also he's a magician and you can't fire a magician when they do magic on your show like all the time.
And also he puts up with things like, you know, when Jess is doing her nails and Tamara, it's amazing. Just, you know, shout out Tamara Ford, who is in the chat saying that, well, making her want to hire a producer, an editor right now. Yeah, it is. It does seem fun. And I miss it. I miss it. I miss not having one when I don't have one.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And the other thing is, I was just thinking, I wouldn't mind doing what John does. I just wouldn't want to be doing both.
Yeah.
You know, like if I were to be showing up and I'd rather run the show. I don't know if I'd want to edit the show, but I'd run the show. I think that would be a fun thing.
I don't want to edit the show. I think, but honestly, I'm one of those like, let's just not edit it. But I also don't know what it would sound like if it was unedited. Would it be so terrible, John?
Yes.
Like if you, God forbid, if you fell ill, I would edit it. Really?
I would edit. Oh, yeah.
It's that bad, huh?
Well, it's not that it's bad, Jess. It's the fact that he makes it's not bad in the way that you're thinking. Like think about it this way. You put your clothes on, right? You get yourself dressed. You get yourself looking cute. You get dressed. And then somebody that loves you looks at you and goes, hey, Jess, smooth the front part of your top. Tuck this part in. Put that one little bit of hair behind your ear. Great. Oh, may I try these earrings. There you go. Now you're done. Like, it's not, he's not here to change us. He doesn't change us. He just cleans us up so that we know that when we're going out there, we're looking our best.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a really good analogy, actually.
Like, right
good.
Now.
Yeah, because that's what he does.
Right now, you know, Jess always does her nails in the beginning of the show. Now what I want to do is recommend her to put a piece of cloth down so when she puts the bottle down, it doesn't clunk into the microphone.
Yeah.
Sorry. I am speaking into the microphone, though, aren't I? Because I've been really careful about that.
Yes, you are. But again, though, when
you hear this,
put, like, all that stuff down, it doesn't pick up.
Is that what it sounds like?
Yes.
Ah, shit.
I have to edit some of that stuff out, and I don't get a lot of it out. Not all of it with Rob right now, because he is in a non... He used to have a nice studio where it was...
Sound treated.
Sounds out.
Yeah, sound treated.
Yeah. But now he moved to, you know, Nashville. And
what? I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Yeah, he's been living in Nashville now for a while.
Is he trying to be a country music star?
No, he's not.
That would be amazing if he was.
No, that he's not. But he has a very, like, it's a really loud, In the latest episode, I could hear his wife in the kitchen clunking
stuff. Wow. Oh, no. That's not.
So, yeah. So I have to, there's a lot of stuff in his chair. And he's using a Yeti Pro.
Good God.
Yeah.
A Yeti?
Yeah, he's using a Yeti Pro, which is fine when he is not where he is right now.
Well, no,
right?
It's clunking around.
We didn't like Yetis.
I don't really like Yetis either. Mind you, though, I mean, you know, John, when you edited the feed that one time and you ran whatever you ran on his track, He sounded amazing.
Yeah, it took like 30 minutes before you got an email saying, what happened to this show this week? It sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was not almost no time. It literally was like the episode was out and Steve Stewart emailed me and was like, wow, that episode was so well done. What have you done? Because I was just like, thanks.
Shut up.
It wasn't me. Somebody else did it. It was John. So, yeah, it's kind of like having a stylist. That's what John is. John is the perfect stylist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he gets like the audio and he styles it so it sounds the best. And here's the thing, though. This is another layer to audio production or being a producer of a show, is that in the same way that you go with certain stylists because they get you, because they know your vision, because they really know how to dress you, it's the same way as you go with your audio producers, because I'm sure there's folks that are brilliant, amazing, but they really would never be able to handle us.
Yeah.
Period.
Jess and I are like brothers and sisters. Like, I can argue with Jess. I can be straight out and blunt with Jess. Where Elsie, I ask Elsie, do you hear this? Or I'm more gentle with Elsie. Where Jess, yes. I'm like, stop that. Stop that noise. Sorry, I didn't see you drinking water.
It's because John and I have done podcasts together where, you know, like you get to know each other when you talk to each other for an hour a week or sometimes longer, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's probably why you're just comfortable yelling at me, which I'm fine.
I know how we are together. I know I can get away with it, or I know that I'm not going to hurt your feelings. Not that I'm going to get away with it. I know I'm not going to hurt your feelings.
It's true.
So, yeah.
All right.
Very, very true.
Are we ready to like talk about other things?
Do you want to do the news?
Let's do the news.
Yeah, let's do the news.
The news you can use for the informed podcaster. Podcasting news.
You know, I had this little bit of news already in the show notes last week, and I simply forgot to move it into our episode notes, and we would have been breaking news because this functionality was released on the day that we recorded, which was last Monday, and it would have been more timely. But I don't know if you all know. Who knows? Did you know this, Jess? Go ahead and take it away, Jess, and we can discuss.
I've not used it. If you're asking me, I have not used it, but I do think it's really cool. So Spotify is now letting you share a specific timestamp from a podcast. It's bringing more social sharing options to Android and iOS apps starting today. But this isn't today. This is May 10th.
No, this
isn't
today.
Week ago.
Yeah.
Including a way to link to a timestamp in a podcast. When you tap the share button, you'll see a toggle option that lets you create a link for the current playtime. After you share the link, anyone who taps it can start listening to the podcast from the same spot. Brilliant, because I have done this for YouTube. I have shared like the exact spot. I had to once because I was showing someone where you were in your, when you were doing a telenovela.
Oh, that's right.
So Elsie has been in a telenovela and it's like very short, but it's in like one specific spot. She's very angry in it. It's hilarious.
It's not a telenovela. It was one of the very first digital media pilots. Okay. But whatever. I mean, I get it.
I was joking. I know it's not a real telenovela, but she's just very, I just say that because you're very angry and you're calling somebody terrible names.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to show someone that exact moment, and I was able to do it on YouTube. So now I'm super excited because this is great for when you mention people. Yes. Because then you can just send people the exact mention and not make them go through your hour and a half of schmagoo in order to get to what you want to get. So,
mind you, this functionality has been available for Overcast and Castro and I believe Pocket Cast. And also, I found out SoundCloud does the same thing as well.
Hey.
There's other players that do it as well, like actual players, like the Libsyn player. The Libsyn 4 player does this as well, if you can actually create the players to start at a specific time code. That's also a thing. But the extra awesome thing that the Spotify one, and the why this one is a lot more powerful. I think powerful, not in the sense that the functionality, but powerful in the sense that is because there's so many more people that use Spotify.
Yes.
And all of the other functionalities for Overcast and Castro and all that stuff, that was still more producer facing, meaning me as a producer would share my own show with somebody else saying, hey, this is where it is. Whereas with the Spotify functionality, it feels that it's a lot more audience focused. So it's those that are consuming the content that are able to then share with their friends, oh, this is when they were talking about whatever. And since they're already using the app, they're kind of used to using it in this fashion anyway. They're already sharing stuff from Spotify to their own places.
Actually, the article says that a quarter of Spotify users, around 89 million, now listen to podcasts on the platform.
Wow, look at that.
So sharing on social media plays a major role in helping people find new things on Spotify, with 40% of music discovery attributed to it, according to a survey of users. So maybe they're thinking it will do the same thing for podcasts, and it might even encourage people to sign up for subscriptions, podcast subscriptions as well.
Yep. I like it. I dig it. If anybody tests it out, go ahead and test it. I think that that's a really wonderful way for your audience to market your show. Or maybe you can ask them to share a specific time of your podcast out. And the other thing is that it works in, I believe, it works on obviously the apps, right? It works for the apps, meaning people can consume it in the apps. It also works on a website.
Is this saying it also works on Snapchat? It says users are able to share songs through the Canvas feature, which turns song pages into video art on Snapchat in addition to Instagram stories. But that's not saying it'll do that for podcasts. But first of all, I just want to know if any of you are watching, or if you could email us feedback@shepodcast.com. Do you use Snapchat? I need to know. Inquiring
no.
minds want to know.
You know what I think people are using Snapchat more and more nowadays for?
Filters.
You're like filth. Filth. Junk. No, junk.
Filters. No. Filters. Filters.
Oh, filters. Filters.
Oh, filth. And yeah, filth and filters. Both. Yes, I think it's the filters. I think that in the same, like they're being used because the filters in Snapchat are so great that people will record their videos and then download them and then upload them into the other different places. Only to see pictures, oh, Cheryl says, of her granddaughter. That's no Snapchat, says Tamara. I haven't been in there in so long. And I have to tell you, May loves to go into Snapchat and do, like, I will look at my phone and I find an entire, like, 6 or 7 rows in my photos of her testing out every single one of the filters. And they're really fun. There's a lot of really fun ones in there.
Yeah.
Much better than Instagram, I think, by far.
I'm a fan of TikTok. I'm in love with TikTok.
I know, me too. I'm obsessed.
People really love TikTok. I haven't gotten into that.
We have a She Podcast TikTok, but it's empty.
It's okay. Amazing. I don't do TikToks. I watch TikToks. Like, I don't create TikToks. I'm a lurker.
I feel like you should do one, though. No?
I did a couple.
It feels so heavy. It feels like a heavy lift for me. Actually, Andrea, our own Andrea, just did a video of how she repurposes her videos, where she records them, how she does it, how she sets them up, and then how she uses them in all the different places, including TikTok. It was really, really
helpful. Who did this?
Helpful. Andrea, our own Andrea. She did really good. I found the video on LinkedIn. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes if I remember to do so.
This doesn't make me look very good at all.
Why? No, that's scary. Look at yeah, that's weird. It has like weird lines on there that weren't even there before.
That's a like, SpongeBob character. That right there is a SpongeBob character, and I can't remember which one it is.
Oh, it's the fish. It's Larry who eats, or Flats maybe. Maybe it's Flats who tries to beat up SpongeBob.
Oh my gosh, y'all. Anyway, but we were talking about Spotify and how cool that was. So if anybody has a Spotify account and has shared a specific part of, or maybe either you have done it or maybe your audience has done it, it would be really great for you to tell us what you think about the functionality of sharing that specific point. Oh, and the other thing that's really fun too is that you can share that specific point to Instagram stories. Mm-hmm. So if you have a one part where you want people to listen to that as it begins, you can share it into your Instagram stories, and anybody who taps on that specific story will begin listening to the show at that time. So I think that's brilliant and fantastic.
While we're talking about apps, there's a new app called VoirCam, V-O-I-R, and you can try on different makeups. And once you find one you like, it tells you what products. Like, here, let me show you. Hold on, I'll do a screenshot.
Oh, gosh. What now about the hair? But the hair is never going to look like that, though.
But look, see this up here? It tells you which products you just, where's my finger? You just tap right there and it'll tell you, it will tell you which products. I mean, hold on. Look at this lipstick. It's fucking awesome. Hold on. I got to find it.
How do you know it even looks like? Are you putting it on yourself?
No, it's a filter.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is, are you putting it on your own face?
Yeah,
your own picture, or is it somebody else?
That was me.
Oh,
just
it
now.
Is. Look. Oh, wow. Look, it is your own face. That's a really pretty color.
Right? I gotta find that color. That color is hot.
That's a beautiful color.
It has tons and tons of them. VoirCam, V-O-I-R Cam. Just try it and see what you think.
It's we can put that
so
in the
fun.
Show notes. Let's put it in the show notes, folks, because everybody's gonna want to know all about it.
Yeah, that's just Jessica's tool tip.
That was
today.
A good tool tip. Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, thank you so much.
No problem. Okay, moving on.
Now, moving on to this really caught my attention because I've told you, I think I've let you guys know that I have...
Yeah, you're obsessed with this show.
Yeah, that I have been listening to every... I have now listened to every episode of Call Her Daddy since Alex has been by herself.
Okay.
Since everything happened, you know, when she was with Sophia.
Boy, you really got sucked in, didn't you?
I've listened to every one of the episodes. And now, I mean, it's insane, but Call Her Daddy is number five podcast, even though it is, I think that this is through Podtrac. Obviously, we know Podtrac is not everybody, but Call Her Daddy moves to number five, and she's above Ben Shapiro and Stuff You Should Know, and This American Life moved back down one position. So anyway, this is good for Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Alex. I am telling you, listen, she started off with, you know, it was one show when it first started. It was between Alex and Sophia. It was a very specific type of show. It was very much two young women talking about sex, essentially, and being raunchy. And it was kind of hilarious and kind of, I don't know, what do you say, you know, when people just do things to get attention, kind of? There's a word for that.
Desperate?
Not desperate. You know when the headlines, are like scandalous and...
Oh.
You know...
Yeah, it's like attention grabbing.
Yeah, and it seemed like that's where it was coming from. And therefore, when I was listening to it, the reason I listened to it then is because all of this other stuff happened, right? It didn't really... It was like entertainment. It was like... junk food,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't my kind of junk food. I didn't find it that appealing.
Okay.
I found that what happened appealing, and that was interesting, which is why I continued to listen to the saga, right? It was sort of like getting the behind the scenes.
Right.
But then Alex had Miley Cyrus on the show after she had been alone for a while. And I listened to that episode, and she did a very, very good job interviewing Miley. And I was kind of impressed by her interview skills. And she has continued to have very great, very, very good conversations on her show. And she is talking about, obviously, she talks about sex a lot, but she's now shifted it in a way that is incredibly empowering for young millennials about being really open about sexuality. Mental health. She's getting a lot of mental health advocates. She's got a lot of sex experts coming on the show. All of a sudden, she's become like super solid in having these really in-depth interviews with amazing like gets for her demographic, right?
Yeah.
So they're not interested. I don't know who the heck these people are that she's interviewing.
Of course not.
Most of the time, I'm like, what? Who? But the conversations have been on point. And she even had her mom on. Her mom is a therapist.
Now that right there, very
Yeah, and it's amazing because the way that Alex talks about it and the way that her mom and when they were had their conversation, you can tell that Alex has gone through a lot of self-knowing. There's a lot of growing up that she's done. And since the whole entire debacle that happened at Barstool and everything that she's doing right now, the kinds of guests that she's having on the show, in-depth discussions about therapy and normalizing what therapy is and what it's not, and when you need to get out when you're in an unhealthy relationship. And she's been disclosing how she's really worked through a lot of different things and her relationships with men. I mean, I am really impressed. Call me impressed with how she has matured this year.
She's impressed, people.
And she edits her own show. Mm-hmm. She does all the things herself. Except for they do actually have cameras that go in. Whenever she has an interview, they have cameras and a setup and distanced and all the stuff. Like there's somebody running that. I'm sure somebody's doing the actual production, the video production of it. Mm-hmm. It's not fully released. So it's not like you can see the audio and the video show. You see snippets of it on social and whatnot. But she has been doing a fantastic. It's like really, really nice. So, yeah, I love it when Hannah Berner is on as well. Yeah. I'm, like, super stoked. And I'm really impressed. Are you not, Terry? I am surprised you are listening to Call Her Daddy, too. But now it is I look forward to every Wednesday morning when she releases a show. The only thing I hate are her ads. So I skip over the ads. Like, as soon as I hear her ads, this is how she transitions to an ad. And that whenever you hear that noise that where she's with her throat, whatever she's doing, then you can I skip because I can't handle her ads. Mind you, I can't handle most ads. So, but still, I think that both of them, I mean, not both of them, but I think she's been doing a really good job. So good for you, Alex. I am really impressed with I'm talking to you, Alex. You're really doing really great work. Honestly, you have been doing You have shifted everything and been really professional about putting stuff out there and being completely transparent and being very responsible and having a lot of maturity in the public eye. So kudos to you. She's like, 27 or something like that?
Kudos.
I mean, kudos to her. So I'm really impressed. And congratulations on this because I feel this is really, I mean, I think she's one of the only women. Is she not? Look at the list.
Okay.
The Daily, NPR News Now, Up First, Dateline NBC, Call Her Fucking Daddy.
Oh, girl.
I mean.
Fresh air.
No, but, well, yeah, Cereal. But look at where she, but look at who she's up against.
I know.
It's every single person who has a team of thousands of dollars doing the stuff.
It's a huge accomplishment.
I mean, look at the rest of the list. Who else is like her?
No one. It's a huge accomplishment. She's the only one.
Holy shit, Sherlock.
Would you still call her independent because she's on Barstool Sports?
Yes, she's doing all of the shit herself.
Yeah, I know, but she's on Barstool Sports. I mean, that's a network, right?
Yeah, but she's editing her own damn show.
All right, okay.
She has no team. Everybody else on this fucking list... Oh. Has a bazillion people. I didn't realize who else was on this list. They have a team of all the people.
Look at Elsie being part of the daddy gang.
I know. I'm gonna have to get some of her gear. I am telling you. There's actually one sweatshirt that I want. It says blocked. That's what I want.
That's perfect for you. That is blocked. Perfect for you.
Wow. So I'll have that blocked sweatshirt. That's the only one I can actually wear and mean it. All the other ones are not me, but blocked, I can do.
Wowzers. I'm speechless.
Yeah, this is insane. Y'all, listen. I mean, millennial by herself doing her thing. Yeah, she has the Barstool support behind her. And yeah, she is getting paid. Obviously, she's getting paid to do this shit.
Yeah, that's a salary.
But she's delivering the content. And that's the point is that she's not getting to number five. She's not getting to number five because of Barstool. What?
And she's not getting to number five because of men.
No, she's not getting to number five because of men. She barely has dudes on her show.
Right.
Wow.
Because I tried listening to it, and it's just not my cup of tea. It's not my thing. I appreciate the way that she edits the show, and I appreciate, and like when she was in it, all of that drama and everything, I lapped it up with a spoon. But I mean, it is very women oriented, which is fantastic. It's fine. I mean, that's great. There's an audience for women, and just the fact that she's at number five and her audience is mostly women tells you how many women are actually listening to podcasts.
And it's women and millennial, because I have a feeling the same audience, the folks that are listening to Call Her Daddy are more likely than not listening to The Daily. I just don't see the same audience listening to The Daily as Call Her Daddy.
Probably.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, let alone The Ben Shapiro Show.
No one listens to Call Her Daddy and Ben Shapiro. There's just no one.
No way. I mean,
and she's above This American Life. I mean, honestly, good for her. Jesus. All right.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Truly. Where's Sophia with an F on that list? I do not know. Sophia is doing her own thing. She does have a podcast. That's her podcast, Sophia with an F.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now she's independent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she's still doing the same stuff. Anyway, that was my Call Her Daddy excitement, just because, good for her.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sarah Silverman's tushy.
Yeah.
What do you think? Should we try it? Should we try it right now, Jess?
So Sarah Silverman over the weekend, in an effort to promote her podcast, showed a picture of herself looking over her shoulder, and she's not wearing any pants or underwear. And the three of us conferred and decided that it was a good idea. And if you want to really promote your podcast, a butt shot is a good way to go. What do you guys think?
If you're going to have a butt shot, you should have your RSS feed on the top of your butt, or you can have the little Apple Podcast logo.
Yeah.
And then like a Spotify logo and a little Google Podcast logo right at the top of your butt, like right above the butt crack.
Yep.
And that's the way to go.
That would be your RSS stamp.
Yeah.
So, honest with you, I think it would work well for you ladies. For me, not so much. I don't think a picture of my butt, naked butt, would bring subscribers.
A huge.
Oh, it'd be huge. But I don't know if it'd be successful.
Very successful. That's what I think. Very successful.
But mind you, did it? I mean, you sent it because that's the way that she was promoting her podcast. But the point is, has the data come in? I saw your butt. I'm subscribed now. How would she be able to measure that?
I mean, she's not measuring it. It's just she knows that nudity sells. I don't know that it's a measurement.
So it's,
you're
does
so
it?
Literal.
Well, here's the thing. So this is what happened. She puts a picture of her butt on Snapchat. And then the New York Post picks this up and writes a story about it.
Around it. That's
around
right.
her butt.
I think that, okay, so that's the key there. That's the key. You do the promotion. And it's not that the promotion gets listeners. It's that the promotion gets coverage, which in turn gets people to subscribe to the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a little like underhanded.
Right. And then the New York Post puts it out on all their social networks, because that's where I saw it. I didn't see Sarah's, and I followed Sarah on Instagram. I didn't see her butt on Instagram. I saw her butt on the story.
Did it get banned?
No, it's still there.
It's still her butt is still there.
You know,
I mean, I think it gets you coverage.
Listen,
it would just be.
How much are you dedicated to getting new listeners?
That's dedication.
Are you naked butt dedicated?
Mm-hmm. Are you? Yeah. Yeah. I would be a little more slightly more thoughtful about it. If I were to have advised her to follow her gut, I would have done that. I would have written subscribe something on my butt. I literally would have done. I was then like,
that's
listen, put this Apple Podcast logo on your butt.
See, Carrie thinks it would be successful. She knows what's up.
Oh, you know what? Here's the thing. I just thought of something. So what if we steal her picture and then we take in Photoshop, listen to She Podcast on her butt, and then put it on your social media?
What? What if we Photoshopped listen to She Podcast on her butt?
I can Photoshop it on any... First of all, I can Photoshop it on anyone's butt. But Sarah Silverman, do you think she'd be mad?
Yeah, but that's like, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I think we should put on there, come to She Podcast Live.
There you go.
Ah.
You know what?
She'd be mad.
What you're doing is you're renting a butt.
Yeah, but I might have to pay her for that rented butt. That's the problem.
Carrie, no one wants to see my head on Sarah. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, no, that would be kind of disgusting. And
thank you. Yes.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it, but that would just be really scary.
I agree with you. You know? Yes. A big
faces on a butt is just all in all is a little scary. I don't know, but that was an interesting idea there. Anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Her show is probably really interesting, Sarah. I doubt she has to do very much promotion. And she does have a cute butt for someone who's 50.
She does. Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah. It must be nice.
I haven't, you know, I just listened to, what's his name, Dax Shepard. Dax Shepard's show today.
What'd you think?
Because I was really intrigued by all the coverage that is following Harry, Prince Harry, around. Poor guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he did an interview with Dax, and there was so much negative coverage about Harry that he said horrible things and all this stuff. And I was like, really? Okay, I want to listen to see what he said. And it was a wonderful interview.
Yep.
He was amazing, super charming, smart, thoughtful, all kinds of goodness, didn't really say anything bad that was horrible about the monarchy. It's exactly what they were talking about that is happening now with the coverage of him talking to Dax.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just horrific. That how dare he talk about the monarchy? How dare he does all of this? It's just like it wasn't even about that. It was about primarily mental health and the stuff that he's learned. And
yeah, it is mostly about mental health, I think.
Yeah.
That's why he says armchair expert, because, you know, he's mostly giving advice based on his experience, not because he's a psychologist or a psychiatrist.
No, right. But it was a really thoughtful, I mean, it was great. So anyway, I enjoyed the show. I would listen to it more. I enjoyed listening to him more than I enjoyed listening to Marc Maron, mm-hmm. in all honesty. Because Marc is a unique, I think he's obviously, so is Dax. Both of them are very unique personalities. But I think that what I really enjoyed about the Dax interview is that they really stayed on the mental health thing and talking about the issues at hand, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it just seemed like I could consume it. Yeah. Easy. I don't know what to say. I mean, I really love.
It's good. I think it's good.
You know, it's a good show. Yeah. I'm just kind of now bummed that it's going exclusive to Spotify in July.
Yeah. So, me too.
Meh.
Meh.
Oh, Tamara says that she doesn't care for Dax. This is the only time I've actually listened to the show, but I really enjoyed it.
I've always liked Dax. So. I've always liked his personality. I like listening to him talk with Kristen. They've got some, I mean, they never gloss over their relationship, and it's been very rocky through the pandemic, and they've talked about it a lot, and I think that's good. And he relapsed, and they talked about it, which is good. And I mean, who wouldn't relapse, honestly? You're stuck in the house. I mean, when you're Dax, or Kristen for that matter, and you're used to traveling and working, then all of a sudden, niente for a year and a half, it's probably very sobering. But not so.
It was really interesting. I mean, he did share, because Harry got into him about, like, he really started to sort of become the therapist, Harry did.
Ooh.
And Dax revealed all kinds of stuff where I was just like, what?
Ooh.
That's where you come, what? So I did not know half the life that he has lived.
Oh,
so,
really? Did you know that used to be on Punk'd? That's where he got started, I think. Punk'd with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. I think that's the only thing that I have really known him from.
The only thing I saw Dax in was that movie that Jessica recommended to me that's from the future where everybody's stupid.
Oh, my God. Idiocracy. He plays a numbnuts lawyer, and he's so funny in that.
Yeah, I've never seen. I don't think I've really seen any of his movies.
Honestly, write down Idiocracy. You need to see it because it's a huge. It's frighteningly accurate as to where our society is going. Basically, the premise is that this kid gets stuck in a military like time
experiment,
and he wakes up like 200 years from now, and like because of the way that our culture is going, like everyone is like has the low Q of a dog. They're all a house plant. He ends up. Gosh. He goes from being average to being the smartest human being on the planet. It's ridiculous. It's so funny. It's just funny, like how they do. I'm not telling you, but like how they do the president and how they like fix the crops situation and like how they choose the cabinet in the White House. It's all hilarious and frightening.
Oh my god. All right.
You gotta see it, dude. All right, moving on.
Okay. And now moving on. Because we're, without further ado, we have something else on the docket that you have added.
Esprit, one of our biggest fans. She was featured on the Grit Daily. So I just wanted to point that out. The name of the article is called That's Right, She's That's the right. OG of Podcasting. And I would really like it. As much as I love this article about Esprit Devora, who's like one of my favorite people, and she's an amazing host, this is just an article about her starting her show and how she saw opportunity and like what advice she would give her younger self. On a side note, I would really like it if anyone listening here could stop referring to people as the king, the queen, the OG, the original, the first. I don't like that. I don't want to be called that. I don't want to be
the podfather.
Like, I don't want to. Yeah, like I don't like when other people are described as that because it makes me. I'm obstinate, and it makes me instantly want to argue. Anytime you put someone on a pedestal, I'm immediately like, how can I tear that person down? Because that person isn't deserving of whatever it is. And she has been around a long time, but the article does say like. In 2012, she was working for an agency that managed YouTube influencers, and you know, she figured out how to create a podcast and then launched Women in Tech, which is a great show, and she's gotten lots of rave reviews, and she has been around a long time. 10 years is a long time. Mm-hmm. But you know, OG is a strong word. I love you, Esprit, but it's a strong word, dude, cuz like here I'm talking to Elsa, who's been doing it since 2004.
I think it's just hard because, you know, it's all relative. It's not all relative.
It's not. I mean, relative. I get it. That's why people shouldn't do it. Because it's not relative. Right. It started at a certain date. It hasn't ended. If you were there at the beginning, the OG, I mean, there probably is an OG. We could probably look it up and find out who was the very first podcast besides Adam Curry. Like which woman was the very first one. I'd be curious to know that, but I still don't think they deserve a queen-like status or a king-like status. I mean, come on.
Grammar Girl. I can't think of her first. I can't think of her. I can never remember her name, but
Mignon Fogarty.
Yeah, Mignon Fogarty. No, I mean, I don't disagree. I don't disagree about some of that stuff. I think that part of it is just, it is hard. We have that name. And I think what ends up happening is that at least for me, it loses its meaning.
Exactly.
Meaning when somebody keeps calling everybody that, then it's everybody, right?
But also if someone says that to me, like I was interviewed recently where someone called me the queen of podcasting and I was like, that is not even remotely true. Like I'm right. Not only am I not the queen of podcasting, but I am dinged constantly for my terrible mic technique and I don't know podcasting that well. I know marketing and advertising and sales. Like ask me to edit a show and you'll be very, very sad at the result. I mean, I can take out a few things, but I can't level. I don't know what those things mean. I have a tiny little mixer here and I only know what one of the buttons does.
But your talent, you're not really supposed to know all that. And even any queen of podcasting doesn't know the king of podcasting doesn't know everything.
Right. Not all the things.
Why is he the king? Who should the king? And not only that.
I don't think there should be
king. I don't want a monarchy in my industry.
Right. We don't want a monarchy. That's the point.
Yes. I don't want a king or a queen. I don't want to bow down to anyone and nobody better bow down to me. It's stupid. All right. That's a total tangent. Let's go back to the fact that Esprit Devora was highlighted in a cool ass article, and we will link it for you in the show notes.
Yeah, the grit.
The grit daily.
And I think we're gonna close out the show with talking about emoji, because we in the last couple of episodes we've talked about emojis, the obsession that both Jess and I have with emojis, and the disappointment of not the good emojis that we just got for iOS 14.5. Yeah, like what's with these emojis?
Come on, dudes. Come
which
on.
Were kind of dummy, like kind of dorky.
Lame.
But there is this really, and I'm going to have a link in the episode notes so that y'all can read it. It's a really in-depth study where it has, they folks, scientists, people, they did a systemic review of emoji, the current research and future perspectives. And they had all kinds of folks just literally go from the research on them, the development of emojis, the functions of emojis, but all of this to address how we are using emojis as communication and how that is working or not working, when it really works in certain scenarios and when it doesn't work in certain scenarios from a complete scientific lens. When emojis are used for motivation, what's the diversity of emoji use when it's like individual diversity versus cultural diversity and platform diversity and inefficiency when it doesn't really work out. I mean, honestly, y'all, you can spend all kinds of time dealing with this and emojis and why they're really kind of important in our lives nowadays.
This is why I wish I was a scientist.
It is unbelievable.
I want to do these types of experiments and then write about them and then get awards and be featured on shit. Like the development of emoji. So it's history of emoji and then diversity of use, cultural. It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know where they have like all the different fields, like linguistics, psychology. And then it says future directions for research. And then, so the direction suggested is the relationship between emoji and real sentiments. And then the factors influencing user preferences in emoji use. I mean,
yeah. Boy, they isn't really that like, yeah. They have so really good. Stretched it out to be a full on scientific experiment.
And I was going to start to sort of, I wanted to summarize the thing for everybody. And then I started to read it and I stopped.
You can't, but I just want to go through this paragraph. I'll read it and then we don't have it. We don't even have to say anything. Okay.
All right.
The use of emoji is also affected by individual psychological differences. This has been shown in research which demonstrates a positive correlation between the frequency of emoji use on Facebook users and their extroversion and self-monitoring traits, and a negative correlation between positive emoji use and users' emotional distress. An emoji-based personality test indicates, where'd they find that? Indicates that the similarity score between emoji and oneself was correlated with emotional stability, extroversion, and agreeableness out of the big five personality traits, but not correlated with conscientiousness and openness. Specifically, negative emojis are negatively correlated with emotional stability. Positive emoji are positively correlated with extroversion. In addition, emojis associated with blushing were positively correlated with agreeableness. I mean, how is that not the most obvious shit ever? Ever. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you figured out that when you use the sad emoji, it means that currently you're sad? What? What?
I just use the laughing emoji to tell people know that I'm joking and I'm not mad. Most of the time when I text, people think I'm mad. So I always just throw a little laughy face at the end.
Yeah. Emojis are good for context. I agree.
But I mean, think about that, though. I mean, the way that they've been used and the context in which they are used and the kind of sense that is communicated from one person to another person. I know that it seems like it's so obvious, but in some degrees, it's not as obvious as you think. And I think that there's also a layer of being able to effectively communicate with emojis. Emoji and knowing when it's the time and when it's not.
Okay, Jaeger and Aris analyzed 33 facial emojis and found that most emoji can express one or more emotions.
Yes, they can.
The rich emotional meaning of emoji makes them a key area for researchers who analyze their emotions and develop emoji emotional lexicons. Because of their rich emotional meanings, emoji are often used to express emotions in online communication. What? Groundbreaking.
Well, the thing is, though, this can be something that you can, I know that it's, you think it's groundbreaking, but this can be used in, you know, at work, like this.
I was joking. It's not groundbreaking. What they're saying is, if it's a smiley face, you can convey an emotion with that. If it's a sad face, you can convey an emotion with that. Like, thank you, Captain Obvious. Thank you, Dr. Obvious.
Duh. Well, that's how research. We've been working. No, but this is what I'm saying. And so to be able to understand that the end user looks at that and takes it in and understands the context of something that's being written is what I'm saying. So that now if you're in a job opportunity or like you're in somewhere like government, can you imagine how it would be so much better if our world leaders would just communicate in emojis? It would be so much. But also, could you imagine if like Biden like shared one of those emojis that could be this or that? People would be thinking about this for years. Yeah. Why did he use that blushy face? Is it because
blushy face?
you know, like why didn't he use just the smiley face? Why was he using the smiley face with the, you know, with the teeth versus a smiley face just with the line?
That's the official term, blushy face.
After a certain, you know, a certain level in business, in politics, no emojis.
No emojis? No, what? No.
I because it's just, what? It could, I you know, what? Again, I got to say, I say just think what? That it's clownish in a way. I understand why we do it now. Way.
Could you imagine like the Constitution written right. with like emojis? Emojis? We should do that. We should like. We should write it and then, like, you know, add at the end and a period
add
instead of a period.
Add little gun emojis and sad face emojis. Yeah.
And how it would be like this. It's be thinking when in the course of human events and it's got, you know, the guy with the glasses and looking up.
Or the monocle.
Yeah, so I'm saying that's the one. Yeah,
that yeah. Let me inspect this sentence further.
Could you see... I don't know, Putin and Biden sending messages back and forth with emojis. It's like, you better not go into Ukraine. Angry face, rocket
angry
emoji.
Face. I know. Could you imagine that? Or like the
see,
the
that's what I see Kim Jong-un and Trump doing.
Yes, yes.
Little bomb emoji.
Right. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Eggplant and peach emojis. Like they're going to fuck each other up.
Back and forth all the time. And they would just, and then laughing.
Yes. Idiots.
I could see that. I could see that happening. This
I
is
think
not
you're onto cool. something. Hey, speaking of the Constitution, do you think that the people who started this country had British accents? Because they are never portrayed like that.
They would have to.
They would have to, right?
They would have to.
You know that George Washington was definitely speaking like a Brit.
Well, wasn't he... Actually, I have no idea. I'm not from this country, so I'm not going to follow through on that train of thought because I do not know.
If anybody wants to do anything about the Revolutionary War, don't forget the British accents, yeah? That was the worst. It's getting better.
All right.
But it's still pretty bad. Okay, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Okay, thank you guys so much for bearing with us through this entire episode. We so appreciate it. If you want to find our show notes, they're at shepodcast.com. If you want to find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you can do that at shepodcast. You can also send us an email or a note, feedback@shepodcast.com. And what we'd really like to know is, are you using Snapchat? Let us know. Email is best, but send it anywhere. I'm curious. She Podcast Live, we do have a price increase at the end of the month. And now that there has been a mask mandate lifted, perhaps some of you are feeling like it's a little safer to come to an in-person event. We still have protocols. We're still going to make sure everyone feels safe. Oh, there's Mom. Hi, Mom. Hola, Mommy.
I'm really late. Hi. Mommy.
She wrote, I really late. Hi,
mommy. And sad emoji
Look,
face.
She had Happy sad face. May. And sad face.
Yeah.
See?
She used a sad face. She's clearly distraught. Mommy, we were just talking about emojis and how they can express emotion.
Yes, emotion. We were just talking about that. So you missed
groundbreaking
that part.
Stuff. Anyway, yeah. So maybe you want to think about getting that in-person ticket. They are limited. Speaking of COVID, we have limited the seats. So there are only 500. We're 20% sold out already. So go online, shepodcast.com/live. Get your in-person tickets. Mommy, maybe you could come to Arizona and see Elsie. Just saying, just saying. I would like to see you there. We're dancing now. I don't know why. Thank you so much for being here today. And thank you all to all who watched us live. And we will see you next time. Thank you. We love you.
Maynard.
Bye.